This week we have a great bonus show with Don Fendler. Don Fendler helped write Lost on a Mountain in Maine. Lost on a Mountain in Maine is a book about Don Fendler when he was a boy. He got lost on Mount Katahdin. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, we'll make this short and sweet. It was a dumb kid got lost, wandered around the woods, found his way out. That's it. Goodbye. Good morning. A couple of things before we get started. One, if my voice goes up like this, it's because Saturday I was in Augusta at a, what they call a child resource center, development center. It's all for kids, you know. And they had a bunch of authors and illustrators there, and a lot of free games, all kinds of good things for kids to do, you know, kids your age. It really was neat. The only problem in an armory, the acoustics, the sounds are not too, you know, not too great. And they had reading areas. You ever been there where they have reading areas? You go from one reading area to the other, yeah, neat. The only problem was, is when I got up there and I had to speak for, it was almost 2 hours I was at, questions and all kinds of stuff. The only problem was there was a guy up on the stage with a microphone singing, and I had a real tough time talking to the kids and asking their questions. So that's why my voice is not too good. Almost didn't make it here today. I woke up this morning and I couldn't talk very well, and I said, gee, it'd be a waste of time and the kids' time for me to go down there. But I got some salt and some stuff and gargled, and my wife beat me with a club and all that stuff. No, she was nice. And the cat came in and bit my foot. So anyway, I'll do my best, and if my voice sounds kind of funny and it goes away, I'm sorry. Okay, I know it's early in the morning. I know I got up at 5 o'clock this morning. It's only a two-hour trip, but it takes about 2 hours for me to get ready, feed the cat, shave, wash, and go down to Irving's and eat and all that kind of stuff. But got here right on time for some reason. Didn't get lost. Had a good map. You know, come down 295 and 95. That's not, you know, and I knew the exit because I was in Berwick. When was I in Berwick? Friday. And I really wanted to get us both together. You know, I could have done it 2 days, but I couldn't do it. And I know you got up early this morning, too. Now you're sitting in here. The only nice thing, I got you out of a lot of classes today. So if you fall asleep and you fall out of the chair, I'm not calling 911. And if anybody snores, you're in deep trouble. Okay? And if I fall asleep, catch me, all right? All right. First of all, my wife is usually with me. But unfortunately, she's not feeling too well. And the distance is quite a ways for her to travel in. Anyway, she sends her apologies and her felicitations and says she wishes she could meet you. And then as soon as she said hello, if the librarian is here, she'd head right for the library. Okay, what I plan on doing, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Then I'm going to go into the story. How many don't know anything about the story? Oh, boy, thank you. Well, that's great. Thank you, teachers. A lot of times I go and a lot of people have never heard of it, or they hadn't read the book yet due to scheduling, I guess, and it's a little tougher. But I'll go into the story, and I'm going to reach a certain point because you don't have any questions, do you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'll stop at a certain point and do a quick stretch. Ms. Johnson will do a quick stretch, and they get tired, and it gets a little warm. And then we'll sit down, and we'll ask questions. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get everybody, because the teachers are going to have to stop me somewhere along the line, because nobody wants any autographs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Autographs!
All right, and what I do, teachers, is, unfortunately, I talk to each one of them for a couple of minutes, a minute each, and we've only got about 10 kids in here, so it's not too bad. And the rest are all grown-ups. Right? No. So you're going to have to watch the time. Now, I'm talking to teachers. One, if people, if kids don't have the books, I would suggest the teachers Xerox the map in front of the book. Okay. And others have the maps, but that's been a piece of paper. And if we can't get everybody, I don't know how you're going to do the signings, but I would suggest I would do one class here, the other two classes go back, and I would go to each classroom. Was that all right with the teachers? That way we won't get all confused and noisy and all that, okay? And if I miss anybody for some unknown reason today, I'll stay as long as school is open and sign whatever I have to sign. And the teachers can submit a name to whatever class Mrs. Johnson wants me to sign in. You know what I'm talking about? If I don't get to class 2 or something, teacher in that, just give me the names, and I'll be in Ms. Johnson's classroom later on today, and I'll make sure everybody gets signature. Okay? Unfortunately, we got, well, we usually don't do this many young people, but today it's okay, I guess. Otherwise, I'd be sitting at home reading a good book. But I'd rather do this. Okay. I've told you about my wife. She and I have been married for 54 years, which makes me about 42. No. No. How old am I? I'm not going to tell you how old I am. She presented me with 5 children, 1 boy and four children, 1 son and 3 lovely daughters. And, of course, they're all grown now. But 2 of the daughters presented us with 6 grandchildren. And there was 5 boys and 1 girl called a tornado because she hits my house like one. And she knows my house, mostly my refrigerator, better than I do. And boy, do my soft drink bill go up. And I never see my computer when they're down there, but that's okay. But 1 grandson I want to mention here, because I don't. People like pop rock music. People like pop rock. Yeah. Well, he is 24, and he's now become a pretty well-known pop star out on the West Coast, out in California. And he's on his 4th tour right now. He has a partner. So his name is Jameson, and his partner's name is Parker. So they're known as Jameson Parker. And he just put out his first CD called Sleepwalker. And I guess it's going okay. And he has a website, jamesonparker.com. And he'd be glad to talk to you. And buy his record because I want to support him. No, I'm only kidding. But he's doing very well. We're very proud of him. And I went to 1 show in Nashville, Tennessee, when he was there. And, you know, I couldn't hear anything for 2 days when I got out of there. How come when they go in to hear these things, nobody sits? They all stand up there in front of them, waving their hands. Well, that's pretty good. All right. We come from Clarksville, Tennessee, which is about 47 miles northwest of Nashville, Tennessee, home, the capital, and home of the Grand Ole Opry. Well, who likes country music? Faith Hill? Shania Twain? Alan Jackson? Alabama? Tim McGraw? Oh, okay. My wife does too. But I like a little bit different. Now, this, what I like, you probably never heard of, but I like Sting and the Bee Gees and Fleetwood Mac, and I used to really enjoy NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, and my favorite, though, is Jameson Parker. Okay. I was in the Army for 30 years, and when I got out and went to work for a while in a civilian position and then retired from that, and we decided we'd come back to Maine. Now, I used to live in Maine in a place called Palmyra. Gee, it is so big you had to count the chickens and cows to get to 500 people. I went to school in MCI in Pittsfield, and I did a little short tour at the University of Maine. So I know Maine fairly well. And while I was in the service, I came back a couple of times to see my twin brother who lives in Camden, Maine. When I did retire, I asked my wife, "Hey, would it be all right if we went back to Maine?" And she said, "Sure. You got to get permission, guys." So we came back to a town of Newport. That was the town on Lake Sebasticook, and that was the lake on which I was living the year that I got lost. And we have a really neat time there. We're there from the end of May until mid-October. The bugs are about gone when we get up here, and I got to get my dock and boat and everything in. And then mid-October, you know, I get to see a lot of the beautiful scenery in the fall. And I'd like to stay to November, but my wife, wants to get back for Halloween. I'm telling you, she collects all kinds of things, and she's got enough stuff there to open up a gift shop. And in fact, I just finished putting up a bunch of Halloween stuff at our house and outside by the outside out at the entrance of our place, and I got scarecrows and pumpkins and all that. And it, nobody lives there. Everybody's gone. It's just us. But it's neat. And while up there, I like to fish. And I read it on days like this when my brother-in-law is busy. I don't like to fish alone. Or some of the guys, I can't get somebody to go fishing. I read. And I like to fish. And I read all kinds of books. Any kind you can think of, I read them. And I read three books a week. I don't mean I finish all three. I read one for a while, and then I go to another one. I get bored, I go to another one. But I finally finish them. I think of what I was reading here. I just finished Aragon. Anybody read Aragon?
Yeah,
good. And I just finished that. And I just finished a Terry Brooks book, Straken. And, of course, I finished 1776, and Harry Potter, and all those good books.
My brother started to read Aragon.
It's good. It's a long, big book. I can hardly wait till the third book comes out. I said I like to fish. And I like to boat, and I like to work out, but what I really like to do is fish. And my wife has a wonderful hobby. She's really, really good at it. I mean, if I did something, I wish I could be as good as her in that hobby. And her hobby is shopping. Oh, boy, she's good at it. In September and October, this is what I do. I get invited to schools, and we have a great time. Why? Because we get to meet great young people like you. Mostly 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. That's great age to get to meet. And, of course, the teachers are great, because without the teachers, the book would have died a long time ago. So we really, really have a great time. And we get to see a lot of Maine. Believe me, we were all over Maine. I got a map, great, huge map of Maine. I've got pins stuck in it of where I've been. Boy, I can hardly see the map. And I don't, most of the places we haven't been have been in the townships. You know, those places that you see that says TR so-and-so or a plantation in Maine, and there are not very many people there. And we talk to all kinds of kids and groups this large. And groups down to 9. I talked to one group of 2. It turned out that way. I didn't expect it, but that's how it turned up in Shackman, Maine. And I've been to a number of one-room schoolhouses. And they're just neat. Really great. It's a great experience for me and my wife. Okay, that's enough of that. I'm going to take you back to July of 1939, which is, what, some 65 years ago, 66 years ago, which puts me at 42. No. I think closer to 79, I think. Okay. I was on a dock with my 2 brothers and 2 friends, Henry Condon and Freddie Eaton. And we were playing King of the Dock. You play King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Well, this is King of the Dock, and I was getting thrown in the water more than anybody. And when all of a sudden my mother called down and said, "Hey, your dad wants you on the telephone." Oh, boy, what did I do now? And my dad had a business in New York, and in the summer he would rent our house in Rye, and then he would move us to Maine for the summer. which was really neat, because from 1935 to 1939, that was the best years of my youth. We had the best time, my brothers and I. Oh, we played a lot of baseball. We'd sneak down and get the corn off of this farmer's farm just down the road. Plenty of good fishing. A lot of skinny dipping. And we had a great time. You know, go around high and get skinny. And we had a boat you wouldn't believe. A motor, and they call a Thor. You never heard this. Not like the Mercury and this, you know, fairly. And you could hear that thing coming. And you think it was going to whiz around the corner. And then here it comes. Putt, right along. It was neat. And I lost the gas cap. My father didn't appreciate that. My brother caught an eel. He brought it up. And he said, and he cut the line, he fixed it, he said, give me the bait, and I gave him a screwdriver, and he put that on and threw it over before he realized what it was. But we had great times there. Anyway, my dad said, look, Don, I'm coming up for 2 weeks. I'm going to close the business down, and I'm going to come up for 2 weeks, and I want to take you guys on a fishing trip, and be sure and bring along a couple of friends. But pick out a route that you'd like to take. So I got some maps. I said, okay, Dad, do that. Thanks. Goodbye. We'll see you in a couple of days. And with that, I went and got some maps that we had in the camp. Went down to the dock, and I said, hey, guys, Dad, call. Bah, 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 bah. What do you think? Okay, great. So I got Henry and Freddie, who knew Maine better than we did, of course, and they were both fishermen. Did I tell you I'd like to fish? Boy. Anyway, they picked the route out, and it wound up in a place called Caribou. Why Caribou? Well, that's a neat name, you know. And it was a couple of hundred miles, something like that, from Newport. And they picked some fishing spots out along the way. Said, okay. You know, I didn't get to Caribou until 19 years later. I went to a school up there to talk. But anyway, my dad arrived. We packed up the station wagon and off we went. Now, we got to a town of Milo, and we camped that night. And while sitting around the campfire, Henry made a suggestion. To this day, I would kill him for it. He suggested we climb Mount Katahdin. Oh, well, hey, we thought that was a pretty cool idea, you know. Okay, that sounded good. We had plenty of time. And the next morning, we took off. And we got to Baxter State Park. Now, who's been in Baxter State Park? Oh, God, what are you...
That's where Mount Katahdin is.
Yeah, that's where Mount Katahdin is. Baxter State Park. Went up there camping. No, wait. You ought to go. It's your mountain, guys. Belongs to you. You ought to go get that grandfather or uncle or dad. I know it's a little ways to go, but you have a great time up there. That's if you like camping and hiking. If you don't, you don't need to go. And you get to see moose and other animals up there. It's pretty cool. Good fishing, too. We got there, and in 1939, that road that you went on was like a washboard, full of potholes and it just wasn't maintained, and the campsites were not very good. The lean-tos were kind of falling down, and the campsites were not run by the state at that time. They were run by civilians, and weren't too well upkept, you know. Anyway, and there were very few people climbed the mountain in those days, very few. So anyway, we got in there, pitched our tents, and got ready to go the next day. Well, before we started out the next day, this is where I stop for a minute because I'd like to really impress upon you something that when you go camping or hiking, there are certain things that you should be prepared for. We went up that mountain. We were no more prepared to go than that chair. We had nothing in the way of good clothing, foot gear. We had no survival items in case anything happened, and of course it did happen. I had two handfuls of raisins. We didn't even carry water with us, which anybody climbed the mountain here knows that you get pretty thirsty going up, or even on hiking. What I try to impress on you people is when you go, you should, into a hike, you're going to go climb a mountain or hike, you ought to carry some survival items. For instance, your gear. Sneakers are not the thing to hike with, and not the thing to climb mountains with. There, you should have boots and the proper, like good jeans, you know, and decent socks. you know, and things like that. Maybe some warm gear. Now, you should carry a light pack. Now, in that pack, you can carry whatever you want, as long as it's not so heavy you can't carry it. Things that you think you would need in case you got separated from the party you're with. And I mentioned a few things that I wished I'd had. Of course, I wished I'd had a cell phone, but we didn't have them in those days. I would recommend... Now, I tried fire. You know, I tried that stick bit. No work. I tried hitting, you know, that metal piece and that knife I found in the cabin. Well, it worked, but I was dumb enough to drop it. I found out there is one thing that really works to start a fire. Matches. Waterproof matches. And in a waterproof container, which you can get, all these things you can get at Walmart. Excuse me. Bug juice. Oh, I'll take bug spray with you. You're going to need it. First aid kit made from your mother's pharmacy. You know, she has a cabinet. You get stuff in there, you put in there. Garbage bag. Why? Make a poncho out of. Take some trail rations with you. A knife. You know, something like that. And there may be a few other things you may want to carry. I'd carry an extra pair of socks. But the one thing I think everybody needs and should never forget, and that's a whistle. A good, loud whistle. Because if you get separated, which you probably wouldn't, and did the dumb things I did, which you wouldn't, and you sit down in one place, which I should have, and you start hollering and yelling for somebody in your party to come get you, your voice is going to give out like mine. And you're going to need that whistle. That thing you put on as soon as you get to your campsite, put it right on. The only other thing I mention is a lot of young people will be sitting around their campsite, and they get bored, and they'll reach in that pack, and they'll get that cigarette lighter out, and they'll start flicking it. I know because I've seen it happen. Before you know it, you might have a fire started. Those items that you got in that pack are there for one and only one reason only, to be used in an emergency only, okay? All right. How many of you have been in a mall or been on a hike when the people are just dragging along? You know, you want to get to that next door. You want to get moving up that trail. Now, that's what happened to Henry and me. We would go ahead and we'd sit down and wait for my dad. Finally, my dad came along and I said, "Hey, Pop, how about letting Henry and I go ahead?" Well, Henry was 4 years older. He'd climbed a mountain before, and he should have told us how to be prepared, but he didn't do it, and he should have done that. And my dad had a lot of, and he had wood, he knew wood lore. So my dad said, "Okay, but remember one thing, Don, don't leave Henry." Famous last words. Okay, up we went. Now, who's climbed Mount Katahdin? Anybody here climb Mount Katahdin? You climbed it? Good. All the way to the top? I didn't hear.
He didn't make it all the way to the top.
That's okay. Did you get up on the tableland, the flat piece of the plateau? No. Okay. Well, as you go up, and depending on what you come up on, what they call the plateau or the tableland, and it's nothing more than a flat piece of ground. It's got boulders in it and bushes and that type of thing and a spring or two, and it rises gradually up to the summit. Depending on what trail you take, depends on how far you go along that plateau. Now, I know in the book it says I reached the summit. Well, I didn't quite reach it. I was close to it, but I never really did reach it. And as we were walking along, Henry said, "Look behind you." And when I did, there was this huge, wicked black cloud coming at us. And what it was a storm, which, if you climb mountains, you'll find out storms are very common on top of mountains. They come up very quickly, and some of them are pretty vicious, and some of them aren't too bad. Well, this one turned out to be pretty bad, because it hit us, and I'm telling you, that wind was really bad. And it was so strong, it would bring the clouds in all around us. And It was just like fog. You're going to have to excuse me a minute while I take a gargle here. Oh, good. I didn't spill any, did I?
No,
it's good. And we jumped down, and it got cold. Boy, it got wicked cold. And it started sleeting. Now, this is July, and it was really cold. We got down, hunkered behind some rocks, and we were there for a while, and Henry was cold, so I took my jacket off, and I gave him a sweater I had. All he had was a T-shirt. And after a while, I said, Henry, I'm going back to my dad. And he said, no, Don, don't do that. The storm will stop. We can climb up to the top, or we can sit here and wait till your dad comes by, or we'll go back down the trail, you know, meet him. Well, being the brave, brilliant Boy Scout that I was, I said, no. I said, I'm scared. I'd never been in a storm on top of a mountain before. You know, and it was really, to me, scary as heck. And I just wanted to get back to my dad, even though Henry is a good guy. So remember those famous last words, don't leave Henry. I went. Now, I got down along the trail, and you know, up there, the trails are marked by white slashes, not signs, but white slashes, or blue, depending on what trail you go up. Well, there were no maintenance people in those days, and very few people climbing it, and those white slashes had faded, and the weather had a lot to do with it, too, because people weren't up there repainting like they should have been, but they didn't. There was no people to do it. And you know when you walk along a piece of ground for a long time, you have a beaten path? Well, there were very few people climbing the mountain in those days, as I told you. Therefore, there was no beaten path. And it wasn't long before I got off the trail. And when I realized I was off the trail, I lost my cool. I really did. Of course, the dumbest thing I ever did in my life was to leave Henry. That was the dumbest, stupidest thing I ever did. When I lost the trail, I panicked. And I started running around, jumping over rocks, hollering and yelling and screaming for my dad and Henry, doing all the stupid things you shouldn't do. What should I have done? I should have sat down in one place, right? And waited for somebody to, or, you know, to come and get me. I thought I could find Henry. I thought I could find my father. Dumb. No, not stupid. Not the thing to have done. I should have sat in one place and didn't do it. Okay, I'm running around, and I kind of went off the side of the mountain, just a little bit down off the mountain, and I came across, I ran right into what they call pucker brush. And that is nasty, wicked stuff, believe me. It's only about maybe this high. I was small enough and light enough to crawl across it. You could have. You couldn't. You couldn't. Most of you could have climbed across. But I'd fall through once in a while. And that thing was, it's like myrtle. It's got leaves with little prickly things on the end of it and around the edges. And it's grown, it's got an old gnarly trunk, and it grows up out of the rocks. And it's above the tree line. It's between the tree line and the plateau. And I was crawling over it one time just for a few minutes, and I fell through. And when I did, I grabbed a branch as I grabbed it, went through, and down below me, just a few feet, was a big old jagged hole full of rocks and stuff. And if I'd gone all the way through and fell in that, I probably would have broke a bone or something and excuse me, and not made it back out. Well, I got back up. I crawled along underneath it. Boy, that's not the thing to do either. I finally got out of that mess and went back up on the plateau. I was scratched up good and you know, got beat up on those rocks. But I got back up and I started going around. And I came across the sign Saddle Trail. And went by it, came back, kept going. Next thing you know, I was right back at where I started from. I was back at Saddle Trail again. I knew I was going in a circle. Now, should I have gone down Saddle Trail? Yeah, I should have. I heard it was dangerous, but it's really not. It's kind of slippery and slidey, but I should have gone down. You know, if I had gone down that trail, I never would have had the pleasure of meeting anybody here, because I would have been found, you know, and nothing, I never would have been here. So I think it's kind of nice I got lost in a way because I got to meet you. But I kept going. I still thought I could find my father and Henry. Henry and I did see a man at some distance through the fog. I mean, when the clouds kind of separated. And I kind of looked for him and never did see him again. Finally, I went down over the side of the mountain. Started to go down the side. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I think, is because I was scared in that storm. And the other, I thought I could find a trail going down. Or I could find a campsite at the bottom, you know, people around. But like I told you, there were very few people climbing the mountain in those days. And very few trails. And when I went all the way down, I didn't find any trail. I didn't find anybody at the bottom either. But going down, now how many people think I was on the mountain for 9 days? No, I was only up there one day. I know it's confusing. I got lost up on the mountain. I came down off the mountain the first day, and I wandered around the woods below and away from the mountain for the next 8 days. Now, I wouldn't have been up there 9 days in the mountain. They would have found me probably the next day. It's not that big. I mean, it's a big mountain. But they would have found me. At least they would have found me within a day or so. I came out, if you did it in a straight line from the top of the mountain to Mr. McMoran's cabin, was about, in a straight line, was 35 miles. So I couldn't have been on the mountain for 9 days. Anyway, we started down, and I guess that to me that was the scariest because I could still see that storm, and all I wanted to do was get down to the bottom and maybe find a camp. You know, or maybe find our camp again. I slipped and slid in and got bruised up in rocks and stuff. There was no trail. Partway down, I came across a cave. And I thought that'd be pretty cool to go in there because it was getting a little dark. And I didn't know whether that storm was going to come down, you know, off the mountain, you know, come down all the way. I wasn't going to go. And I could get in there and, you know, keep out of that storm if it came my way. But I was scared about that cave. I said, gee, what? Supposing there's a bear in there. Supposing there's a mountain lion or something like that. And I start throwing rocks in there. And nothing. But then, being the brave Boy Scout that I was, I said, I'll go stay in there. And I went down to the bottom of the mountain. And I finally got down to the bottom. And I sat down, because I was pretty exhausted, next to a stream. And all of a sudden, my feet began to hurt. I mean, they really were hurting. And I looked down, and my sneakers were torn to shreds. Just, there was nothing hardly left of them. And my feet were bleeding and awfully sore. And you got to remember, sneakers in my day, there was not much to them. Nothing but a piece of rubber and a little glue and a piece of canvas. And then when you tied your shoelaces more than five times, they broke. They're not like the sneakers we get today. So I took off what was left of them and tied shoelaces together and put them aside, put my feet in that stream, and that was pretty nice, cooled them off. And about that time, I was getting pretty tired. I was tired, but I was getting sleepy. I had climbed the mountain, at least up the part of the mountain, and I ran around on the top of the mountain, you know, acting crazy and used up a lot of energy, and then came down the mountain. And I wasn't used to climbing mountains, so I was pretty tired, and I kind of fell back. And boy, before I knew it, I guess I went to sleep. And the bugs didn't even bother me then. And next morning, I woke up, and I didn't know where I was at first. I'm looking around, and all I could see is what? Trees, and trees, and more trees. But then, no dad, no brothers, no friends, and I knew that I was in trouble, you know, and I was lost. And I really lost it again. I really lost my cool. And I'm screaming and hollering for my dad. And I can hear nothing but mosquitoes. But nothing. Now, what I'm going to tell you, you can believe or you don't have to believe. That's strictly up to you. But what I saw was like me looking right at you. It was so real. And I'll tell you what caused it. I looked up, and I looked over to my son on my left, and there was Henry's head sitting on a stump. Now, that's pretty weird, isn't it? He's his head sitting on a stump. But, you know, I said, Henry, come save me. Come get me, like a head can come over. Get me. But he wouldn't look at me. And I looked over, and there were these four men in robes and hoods with outstretched arms, fiery eyes, and they looked like they were hypnotizing Henry, telling him not to come get me, I guess. Well, about that time, a guy came by on a horse, buffed me to the wall. Boy, a neat horse. And he was in a cowboy outfit. And I'm hollering at him to come get me. Boy. And he rode right on by. Well, but the last thing I saw was this car came through, this black sedan, through the trees. No road, no driver in the car, and my father sitting in the back seat. Boy, I looked at that, and I really started screaming, Dad, come save me. Please, come get me. Nobody else will help me. And he just went, he didn't even look at me. He went right on by. And with that, I jumped up and ran after him, screaming. Well, I tripped, and I fell in that stream. And when I came up out of the water, everything was gone. No horse, no Henry, no guys, no dad, nothing. And believe me, I did some screaming then and hollering. And what had happened, according to the doctor and according to the guides that I talked to, I had gone into shock. The shock of knowing I was lost, the shock of knowing I was so scared. And what I was seeing was no more than figments of my imagination, or what you call hallucinations. To me, they were real, but they weren't real. They weren't there. But to me, they were at the time. Thankfully, that water, cold water, knocked whatever it was that made me do what I did, knocked me out. But believe me, I did some hollering. I tried to run after my dad, and I couldn't because my feet hurt so bad. Okay. All of a sudden, I don't know why, I began to realize what I was doing was pretty dumb. Screaming and hollering and all of that didn't help me. But to go back to one thing, in talking to the guys about those hallucinations, they told me that people that they found over the years, other people had gotten lost up there, that it's pretty fairly common that people do see things that aren't there. Some of the people they found came out normally. I mean, they were just perfectly normal. Some that came out mentally unbalanced. They just had lost it. Some they found dead, who had just given up or tried to kill themselves and have. But they told me how lucky I was. One, because I was young. And two, if I had followed my dad, car, I could have easily hurt myself, or I could have become mentally unbalanced. Now, I'm perfectly sane, I think. Yeah, I'm okay. Anyway, I began to realize what I was doing was pretty stupid, so I sat down, and I finally got it through my head, what did the Boy Scouts teach you? I mean, what am I going to do to get out of the mess I'm in? What do they teach you? Well, one, when you're in a bad situation, they teach you to keep a cool head. Sit down, try to be calm, and try to figure out how you're going to get out of the mess you're in. And I got myself into a mess. Well, believe me, I wasn't all that calm. I still was panicky. I still was hollering at my dad. But not as bad as it had been. Okay, next to me was a stream. And I'm going to take another drink. Please. Is it really great to watch somebody drink water?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. They had taught me that if you follow a stream downstream, it'll lead into another one and then into another one probably. Eventually, it'll go into a river. And I guess it goes to the ocean eventually. But I knew if I followed that, and they had taught us that if you follow that stream, downstream, follow it all the way, you're going to come out on some kind of civilization. You're bound to. or somebody would be out there looking for you. I knew my dad was. And so I said, okay, I think I better follow that stream. And it was the best decision I ever made. Because in following those streams, I came out on the east branch of the Penobscot River, and across from it was Mr. McMoran's cabin. So, but I didn't intend on walking for 8 days on bare feet. Okay, I started out, took my sneakers and tied them in a knot, threw them on my shoulder. Why, I don't know. They were no good. And eventually, during that morning, I lost them somewhere. And for the next 8 days, I walked on bare feet, which I wouldn't recommend to walk on bare feet in the woods. Now, the last thing before we take a break here is what happened to me that day was the worst of the whole adventure, the ordeal. The worst thing of all. Can anybody tell me what it was? Yep. Huh? Nope. Yep.
Are you
your nope. The bugs. Oh, the bugs. Yeah. Okay. The bugs. Now, let me tell you. Every bug in the state of Maine must have heard about the Fenler Smorgasbord or the big old table he could eat on right there, and that was me. But they came from miles around, I think. Every bug in creation that is bred in Maine. No-see-ums and black flies and mosquitoes and moose flies and deer flies. They were all there. And they bit, believe me. There, when I got out of the woods, there wasn't a spot on me, not an empty spot on me that wasn't bitten by a bug. And I mean every place. And it was kind of bloody at times. But it got so bad they would drive me in the water because I had no bug juice. And I tried mud, guys, you know, get some mud, what I could find, put it on. But it would cake and fall off and didn't work too well. So I would go in to these streams. Well, the streams vary. Sometimes they would be very, very swift white water and fairly deep. And others is fairly quiet, you know, and not bad and not too deep. Well, I made the mistake of getting into a deep, swift one. I stepped into it, and next thing you know, I'm on my back, and I'm going down downstream, bouncing off rocks. But I got out okay. And so I would try to pick a stream, if possible, that wasn't so swift. But if I had to go in, I would grab the branches or the, you know, the bushes alongside the bank and hang on. But I tried to got a place where I could sink down in the water, you know, and then I could dig the bugs out of my nose and my eyes and my ears. And there wasn't much fun. They about drove me nuts. Then I'd have to get back out, of course, start walking again. And there they were, all waiting for me. And they were. That was the worst thing that happened. Okay, I lost my sneakers, I'm on bare feet, and I'm walking. Now, for the rest of the time I walked, it was mostly walking and getting away from the bugs, but there were a number of things that happened to me, which I know you're going to ask me. So if you miss any one I think is a good one, I'll bring it up. And at the end, you tell me I have one question to ask, and if it's not asked, and I'll answer it. So let's take a quick stretch. If you want to get up and stretch, go ahead, and then we'll sit back down in a minute.